Good morning. It is great to be with you, and it's great to have our El Salvador teams back home, and it's certainly a great blessing that they've been able to go and serve. And I am grateful that we can study from the Sermon on the Mount. This has been a rewarding study for me, and I pray that it's been a challenging study for you as well. Open up to Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34, our text this morning. In our Discipleship 101 series and looking at the Sermon on the Mount. The teaching this morning is one of the hardest ones, I think, in the Sermon on the Mount to really believe Jesus meant what he said. It's kind of like some of the other messages on loving your enemy or not judging and being harsh and critical. We tend to dismiss this message. We tend to think about it like going out on a hot 9,500 degree day. What's going to happen to you? You're going to sweat. It's almost like this teaching is one of those teachings that's like, you're going to live in this world, but I don't want you to worry. And we take it like it's impossible. It's like it would be to go out and be in the extreme heat and not sweat. And I think one of the reasons that is because we've often misunderstood what this passage is saying and what Jesus is trying to get at with this overall context. If you look at the overall context of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is emphasizing the idea that we need to focus our life upon God. In verses 1 through 18, he says, do not focus on religious deeds and being seen of men, but rather do religious deeds to be seen of God. And then verses 9 through 13, he talks about our prayer. And the main emphasis of the Lord's Prayer is praying that we will do God's will. And then he turns in verses 19 through 25, our passage last week, he talks about laying up treasures in heaven. And the emphasis is, don't focus on this stuff, on treasures on earth, but rather focus on your heavenly Father. And so that leads him then naturally into the context of verses 25 through the end of the chapter, when he says, I don't only want you to focus on religious deeds so you can be seen of men. I don't want you to focus just on money so you can have a bunch of stuff. He also says, I don't want you to have to worry then about all this stuff. Because God has you. God is the one that you put your trust in. And he gives us four reasons of why we should not worry. And he focuses this section around this context of not worrying. You see, all of Matthew 6 is centered around this concept of focusing on God. And he says, really, the conclusion to the overall chapter is verse 32. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. They'll be given to you. You keep your priorities right. You seek God. You seek serving others. And all these stuff, things, will be given to you. You see, Jesus is not saying in this passage, don't worry about your family. He's not saying, don't worry about your health. He's not saying, don't worry about the church or worry about your soul. Or worry about your friend's soul. He's not saying you should not worry about your nation. Now I understand that we must understand those terms where we don't want to be overly fearful, overly anxious about any of those things. But there are some things that the New Testament teaches us that we need to have some anxiety or stress over. We need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to have a heart that has a burden for lost souls. And for the condition of the morals of our country and our county. And we need to be concerned about the church. And we need to have some concern for those things. Paul says that the great anxiety that was constantly over him of all the churches. And so the New Testament is not telling us to not worry about some of these things. What is it then telling us not to worry about? It's telling us not to worry about things that are not important. Things that are laying up treasures on earth. Things of this world that we depend upon, like food and clothing. He's saying God is going to provide.
And Jesus gives us four reasons of why we should not worry. He says, first of all, we shouldn't worry because it is inappropriate. It's inappropriate. Look at verses 25, 31, and 34. In each of these passages, he tells us the command, do not be anxious about your life. And then down in verse 31, he will repeat this again. When he says, do not be anxious. And then verse 34, he says, therefore, do not be anxious. Jesus wants to emphasize we should not be all fretful. We should not be always torn up and consumed with things of this life. He says to us it is inappropriate because when you've made the decision to serve God, when you become a disciple, remember this is discipleship 101. When you have given your life to Jesus, then it is wholly inappropriate and incompatible with your decision to serve Jesus, to worry. You see, he's trying to teach us that the Lord wants us to know that he will provide for us. Now we are to work, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, we're to provide for those of our own family. 1 Timothy 5:8. And we're to be concerned about the future. Luke 14. Jesus isn't saying don't think about the future. He's not saying don't save up and have provisions. What's he saying? He's saying don't be consumed with it. Don't be anxious about it so that it hinders your faith and your work and your service to the kingdom of God. He is condemning a worried fear that takes the joy out of life. He's saying, stop being perpetually uneasy and worried. You see, Jesus wants us to know that we should live a joyful life. A life that, yes, doesn't know the future, but a life that knows who holds the future in his hands. It is inappropriate with the child of God to constantly be worrying. But number two, he says, it's ineffective. Worrying is like that rocking chair. You can rock all day, but you'll never get anywhere. And so it is with worry, Jesus says. In Matthew 6, verse 27, when he says that, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Can you add any time to your life by being worried? He goes on and says, can you add any height to your stature? You know, there are some things about this world that we cannot change. There are certain bodily features about how tall we are and our looks and our nationality and our skin color and all these things that we can't change. There's also the concept here that we cannot add time to our life. Certainly, there are times when we wish we could add more time and we feel like we can't get everything done. Or we get fretful about the end of our life. We get fretful about death. Jesus says it's ineffective to worry because we must learn to accept things we cannot change. The idea is that worrying, you cannot change some things. We must learn to accept the things we cannot change and change the things we can. You see, how many times, statistics and all can bear this out, do we worry about things that never come about? People spend hours consumed with worry, taking the joy out of their life, yet these things never happen. And many times they worry about things then that they even cannot change. You see, we often need to ask ourselves, is this something that I'm worried about that I can do something about? And if we can do something about it, we need to do something about it. But if we can't do anything about it, we need to work on accepting it and letting it go. Jesus says worry can be extremely ineffective because we have to learn to accept some things we cannot change. It is counterproductive constantly fretting and fearing the fleshly carnal things, and it will not get you anywhere. But then notice, number three, not only is worry inappropriate and ineffective, but it's also insulting.
It's insulting. Jesus says in verse 27, notice this, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to your span of life? Back up to verse 26 as well. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Then as you continue to read on down, verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, it's insulting to constantly be worried about these physical things. Jesus says the birds of the air and the flowers of the field are constantly taken care of by God. He says that God takes care of them. And He says, are you not more valuable than they? Have you ever really thought, and all of us tend to sweat on a hot day, all of us can get more anxious and worried than we should be. But have you thought about that worry, not from your perspective, but from God's perspective? And if you ask yourself, is this something that I'm worried about that really is not appropriate for me to be worrying about? I can't change it. It's something that is really temporal or physical in nature. I'm really worried about stuff. It's about my things that really, if it were to all be lost, the valuable things would still be here. You see, Jesus is saying, that's insulting to God. Your God in heaven who has given you so much, who provided so many blessings for you, and then you who should be focused on serving Him, you're worried and concerned with all these things. And it's insulting. God says, I want you to know I'm going to take care of you. You focus on me. It demonstrates a real lack of faith. And then as we look to the last point on how our worry is ineffective and inappropriate, and how it is something that is really insulting to God, it's also improper. Look at verses 32 through 34. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Gentiles in this context is really a negative term. It's what the worldly nations do. It's what the people of the world do. They're seeking out all these physical blessings. They're laying up treasures on earth. And the word picture here is of seeking is an interesting one. It's a word picture of like our kids on Easter Saturday when they're hunting the eggs. And they go out and, you know, they're hunting the eggs, and we put the eggs out there, and they just run out and they're running around just trying to gather up as many eggs as they can get. Well, that's the word picture of this term seeking. There was a show, you know, when you have young kids, you watch a lot of cartoons and hear them in the background a lot. And I remember Curious George my kids used to watch a lot of Curious George. And there was this episode about him being a trader. And he had a little rolling cart. Someone came along who had some apple cider. And he traded that rolling cart for a gallon of apple cider. But then the rest of the show is about him wanting that rolling cart back. And he was at a trade day where everybody was swapping and trading everything. And his rolling cart kept getting swapped and traded and bartered with all these other people. And so he would go to the person who had it, but they had already traded it. And he keeps going and going and going, trying to get his rolling cart back. Well, that's the word picture here of the word seeking. It's like our eyes are focused on all the things that are out there, and we're constantly trading and trading and getting and getting and collecting, like a squirrel storing up for winter. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you to spend all your time gathering and seeking. That's what the people of the world do. But I want you to look at what he says in verse 33. He says, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. And instead of seeking all the stuff, you seek the reign, the rule, the kingdom of God in your heart and life and His righteousness. And then notice this. You'll get all these things and more. If you go out and stand in the ocean, what is going to happen to you? You're going to get hit with the wave. The wave is just going to come over you. You don't have to make the wave. You don't have to run out and seek the wave. If you go stand in the ocean, the wave will hit you. Jesus is saying, go stand in the kingdom of God. Go seek the kingdom of God, and you will be hit. You will be overflowed with the blessings of God. You see, it is improper to have our priorities out of balance. We must seek first the kingdom of God, and then God will supply us. You see, it involves seeking the wrong goal. Worry is really about focusing on the wrong thing. It's improper. So Jesus is teaching a focused, prioritized life. He's teaching us to focus in Matthew chapter 6. I want you to go back to verse 19. Because this overall context is the emphasis. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. That's the emphasis. That's the emphasis of this worry. Once again, there's some things that are appropriate for us to worry about. And many Christians, I think, have often caused themselves undue guilt because they're really worrying about appropriate things. And when I say worry, they have a concern for appropriate things. In this passage, Jesus is saying, I do not want you to have a concern or undue worry for inappropriate things. And so Jesus says, it's about things about laying up treasures on earth. And therefore, he teaches us to not seek after these things, but seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus is teaching his disciples to trust in God for their provision. God has got you. Now, this is tough. This is tough. I tell you, I'm pretty good at sweating on a hot day. It's just natural to us. It's tough to not worry about all our stuff because we have a responsibility for it. And here's the thing, we get so consumed with it and we don't think about how it is really a lack often of trust and faith in our Heavenly Father. And so it comes back to prioritizing our life and putting back the kingdom of God, putting loving God and loving people, loving God and loving people above things and stuff and worries of this world. This morning, if you're not a child of God, I want you to consider that message. That life is more than clothing. Life is more than just this stuff. Don't live this world for all the things of this world. Live this world for Jesus. If you're not serving Jesus, let me encourage you this morning to put Christ on in baptism. Give your life to Him. Have your sins washed away through His blood that you contact at baptism. If you need to rededicate your life, if you need to be restored to the church, or if you just need prayers to help in your worry and anxiety, please come as together we stand and sing.